In the last several days, you probably have noticed, for those of you who follow any sports, the Avalanche have had a pretty good year, and it looks like they might make the playoffs. Yesterday, the Nuggets began a seven-game road trip, and they, thank God, they were able to begin with Memphis, who was on a 19-game losing streak. And what did Memphis do? They won. Yesterday in the evening, I had an opportunity to watch one of our University of Wyoming wrestlers who was wrestling for the national championship. He was number one ranked in the United States, and he was wrestling the number three ranked person. And the number three ranked person beat him with about 20 seconds left. So he got second. Now, the only positive thing about that is that the young man, the 18-year-old freshman from Cornell that beat him, his name is Yanni Viakomihalis. So I guess if he's going to lose, it's okay if he loses to a Greek man. That's okay. I bring these examples up to you as just an example in one area or facet of life that we are very in tuned with in our culture in our day and age that requires one incredible amount of hard work and dedication. And we all know that in order for those people, you could probably line up 100 athletes of equal ability, for example, and only one of them is going to be the champion. And since I brought up the Greek fellow, as Yanis was talking, he went like this, and they asked him afterwards when he won the tournament, what was that about? And his coach was telling him throughout the year, you're as good as anybody here. The only thing that will determine whether you are a victor or a loser is in your mind. And I'm going to add something to that, and that is in his heart. Sometimes, as we look around as Christians, I don't know if you've noticed this, but Orthodox Christians are really the only ones that do Lent the way we do it. Have you noticed that? Anybody notice that? Why is that the case? And the case is because we want to be champions. We don't want to be fourth or fifth or tenth place. Our call is to be a saint, to be a holy one. And I have to admit this, as I get older in life, life is more difficult. It's not easier. You know, have you ever noticed that? We think that it's going to get easier as we get older. But the truth is, it doesn't. I think that on the one hand, that's a surprise to us. But on the other hand, if we look at every other aspect of life, it shouldn't be a surprise, should it? The reality is, life is not easy. And if we can apply that principle in so many other facets of our life, athletics being one, business, raising children, have you noticed that? Oh, it's not easy. In any and every aspect of life, life is challenging. So the purpose of this extraordinary focus in Great Lent is to hone us to be champions. First place, holy ones. And we also know that being a holy one in the eyes of God is oftentimes juxtaposed to being a successful person in this world. Does anybody recognize that? To be a holy one in our day and age, to be an Orthodox Christian champion, is to be a person of compassion, to be a person of mercy, to be a person of repentance, of humility. I often wonder, can you stop and think about it? Can you imagine if we put the same effort into our spiritual development in life as we do in other aspects of our life? Can you imagine that? Maybe one half of the effort. Well, I'm going to focus on, in the context of my remarks just now, three things I'd like to focus on today. The epistle reading, the gospel reading, and St. John of Climacus. By the way, I'm not being very original in focusing on those. The fathers of the church have placed this emotion hundreds of years ago on this fourth Sunday of Great Lent. So let's begin with our epistle reading from the epistle of Paul to the Hebrews. And we hear in this epistle reading, and by the way, that is the epistle book, generally speaking, for Saturdays and Sundays of Great Lent. During the weekdays, we read from the Old Testament. Only on Saturdays and Sundays do we have, generally, epistle and gospel readings. There are exceptions to that, but generally that's the way it is. And the epistle reading, the epistle book we focus on those Saturdays and Sundays, by and large, is Hebrews. Why? As Paul is writing this book to the Hebrews, he is focusing on the fulfillment of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, fulfilling the promise to the Jewish nation, that is, the Hebrews, in the person of Jesus Christ. So the law is fulfilled in Christ, the coming of the grace through the presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ of God. And with that in mind, I want to focus on one name, and that name is Melchizedek. We heard it last Sunday in the epistle reading, and we heard it this Sunday as well. Melchizedek is a mystical person who shows up only one time in the first book of the Bible, in Genesis. He is called the King of Peace and the King of Righteousness. The King of Peace, Salam, and the King of Righteousness, Melchizedek. And Abraham sees him and immediately bows down before him and gives him a tenth of everything that he has. Interesting. Abraham offers him a tithe of all that he possesses. And with that tithe offering, the Christian understanding of Melchizedek is he is a premonition, if you will, a pre-entrance into the world of Jesus Christ. And so now, in the book of Hebrews, fasting forward to the New Testament, Jesus Christ has a new priesthood, and it is not a priesthood of the old covenant, the priesthood of the Jewish nation, the priest of the temple, who had to be elected and appointed year in and year out after the tribe of Levi. Jesus' priesthood is not an earthly priesthood. It is a priesthood, we understand, in our Christian perspective, after the order of Melchizedek, who is a type of Jesus Christ. So with that in mind, we have in Hebrews the revelation of Jesus, the new high priest, the eternal high priest, God who has become man, entered into the world, and it is after his priesthood that the priesthood of Father James and of Father Paul and of Father Theodore and Father Jimmy and me and Metropolitan Isaiah are ordained into. The priesthood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ after not an earthly order, the order of Melchizedek. So revealed in the epistle is the divine nature of Jesus. Number one. Number two, the gospel passage. Another healing event. And in this healing event, we see Jesus' disciples were approached by a man who had a son who was convulsing. Perhaps we would call him an epileptic today. And as he is convulsing, his disciples were not able to heal him, and he comes to Jesus and bows before him and it says, "Jesus, Lord, if you are able to help him, please help." And Jesus' response to him is, "If you are able, for all things are possible for those who believe." And what is the man's famous response? "I believe, Lord, help my unbelief." Immediately after which, Jesus healed his son, handed him to his father. They left, and then Jesus' disciples said to him, "Why were we not able to cast this out? Why were we not able to heal him?" And they said that in the context, you know, this is after they have been sent out two by twos, and they have gone to the whole region, and they have worked miracles already. But they are not able to heal this young boy. And he said, "This type comes out only by prayer and fasting." Champions! Prayer and fasting. What are the three elements of the Great Lenten Journey? Prayer, fasting, and the third is almsgiving, charity. All three, by the way, have as their purpose to bring us out of ourself, focusing on God in prayer, focusing on God in fasting, and focusing on our neighbor in almsgiving. And why is that the case? It is the case because, as I mentioned earlier in talking about champions, to be a champion as a Christian is oftentimes juxtaposed to being a champion in this world. And the reality is, in our fallen nature, our tendency is to first and foremost focus on ourselves and to focus on the world in which we live, as if that is the prize. That's the post-fallen attitude of humankind. The pre-fallen attitude of humankind, which we are striving to retain and attain once again, is to focus on God first and the spiritual life first, and then on ourselves and on the world, the material life, second. To reverse the order. Prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. Now the gospel passage affirms that Jesus, that being helped ultimately is not being helped by humankind. Even his disciples could not help this man. It is ultimately being helped by God. So an affirmation in the gospel passage that Jesus is God. Not a good man that did some great things, but Jesus is divine. The second person of the Trinity. And finally, we focus on St. John Climacus, St. John of the Ladder. Oh, we forgot to have the ladder of... Oh, how many of you have your bulletins? Please look at your bulletins and open it up. We didn't put the icon of the Ladder of Divine Ascent out today. I forgot to do that. But look in your bulletin. You all know that icon, right? The famous and infamous icon of the Ladder of Divine Ascent, which is such a powerful icon. And the book that St. John wrote, St. John lived in the 6th century and the 7th century, died in the 600s. 6th and 7th century, died in 649. He was the abbot of St. Catherine Monastery on Mount Sinai. And by the way, St. Catherine Monastery is purported to be built on the site of the burning bush, where Moses received the tablets of the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. How many of you have visited Mount Sinai, St. Catherine's Monastery? It's an incredible place, right? And as we visit that place, he was the abbot of that monastery and was asked by an abbot of a local nearby monastery to write a book, a spiritual treatise to help the monastics, not only of his monastery, but of throughout the region. And so he wrote this book, The Ladder of the Divine Ascent, and if you look in your bulletin, it has 30 steps of the ladder. I'm going to very briefly read through them. Step 1, on renunciation of the world. 2, on detachment. 3, on exile or pilgrimage. We are pilgrims in this world. This is not our final resting place. That's why cemeteries are in English called cemeteries from the Greek word kimitirion, from the Greek word kimisis, which means to be asleep. From our Christian understanding that our soul separates from our body at the point of death, our body rests until the second coming, our body sleeps until the second coming of our Lord, when our soul will be reunited with our body. And just as we heard in the gospel references of the resurrection of our Lord, even after his resurrection, people that had died were coming to life from their tombs in the gospels. And that's our belief. Our soul will be reunited with our body, and we will rise from the tombs. On blessed and ever memorable obedience, a tough word for us in our day and age. On painstaking and true repentance, on remembrance of death. One of the saints has said, become friends with death, and then you will live. On joy making, mourning, freedom from anger, on meekness, on remembrance of wrongs, slander or calumny, on talkativeness, and silence. With our 24/7 world in which we live, there's plenty of talkativeness and very little silence. On lying, on despondency, on the clamorous mistress, the stomach, on incorruptible purity and chastity, on love of money or avarice, on non-possessiveness that hastens one towards heaven, on sensibility, on sleep, on prayer, and psalmody with the brotherhood. He's speaking to monks here. On bodily vigil and how to use it to obtain spiritual vigil. On unmanly cowardice. On the many forms of vainglory. On mad pride and unclean blasphemous thoughts. Meekness, simplicity, and guilelessness. On the destroyer of passions, most sublime humility. On discernment of thoughts, passions, and virtues. On holy stillness of body and soul. On holy and blessed prayer. Concerning heaven on earth, or godlike dispassion and perfection. Concerning the linking together of the Supreme Trinity among the virtues. And those virtues are faith, hope, and love. So, as we are now on the fourth Sunday of Great Lent, let us remember that Jesus is the great high priest, the eternal high priest, the divine high priest, after the order of Melchizedek, and you and I are baptized or confirmed into that general priesthood, and the clergy into that specific priesthood, the priesthood of the believers. Number 2, that the great healer of all is not a human being, or are not human beings. The great healer of all is none other than our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. Number 3, that we are in a world, but we are journeying through this world. And our ultimate homeland is the heavenly Jerusalem. Our ultimate goal is union with God. Our ultimate call is to be champions of faith beyond the avalanche. the Nuggets. Maybe the Broncos again someday. Perhaps even the Rockies. The Wyoming Cowboys. Beyond them all, beyond fame and wealth in this world, your call in mind is to be a saint. So let us pray, let us fast, let us give alms, and let us become hard-working athletes, spiritual athletes, for the glory of God. His mercy endures forever, and His love is with us, always, forever.